making us ask again and again, making us importune him to become shameless about it, to become, I want this, I need this, would you open up and give it to me? To become shameless and to lose our pride and to just get down on our hands and knees and beg, please give me bread. To the one that knocks, it's opened. To one that seeks, that's the one that finds. If you don't seek, you don't find. If you don't knock, the door doesn't open. If you just stand outside the door doesn't open. You've got to ask. You've got to seek. You've got to want it. You've got to want it. Don't expect things to just fall on you. Well, God will make me, you know, he'll just send it to me when he's ready. If you don't ask, he's going to send you anything. To me, I consider it to be, I pray and ask God, reveal my sin to me. And I say that, and also, in a moment, my heart also dropping and dreading the experience. I do. I think of Jesus going to the cross. He dreaded the cross. He did. I don't care what anyone wants to say. He dreaded it. But he was fully willing to go into it because of what God, he knew it was the will of God, and he wanted to do God's will. But he dreaded the experience. You know? What shall I say? Deliver me from this hour, but this is the hour I came into the world for. What shall I say, God? You know, get me out of this situation, but this situation is what I'm alive for. To experience these things and to go through these things so that I can be made conformable to Christ. So that I could inherit eternal life. I want to inherit eternal life. I do. The thought of missing out on that, I can't even comprehend the greatness of the loss if I were to miss out on that. And I realize that I can't even put a number, I can't even put value on it. I can't even mentally wrap my mind around it. I just have this vague idea that that's what I want. But really, I don't want it like I ought to want it. I don't really seek it like I ought to seek it. But if God will help me, I will seek it as I ought to seek it, and I will obtain it. Because it's like, without his grace and mercy helping me, I wouldn't have gotten where I am today, that's for sure. Which is just a very little way along the path. Verse 11 says, if a son shall ask bread of any one of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And there he gives it the Holy Spirit. And I tell you why. And I don't think it makes, well, Paul, you were talking about being free from sin. Well, how do you think you get free from sin? It's by God's Spirit. The Spirit working in us works things. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, right? Everyone has the fruit of the Spirit memorized, don't they? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there are no law. I mean, those are all the fruits of right. That's all in righteousness. Love, joy. I mean, love. That covers a multitude of sins. These are the positive aspects of righteousness. You know, the negative aspects are, you know, the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you do those things, you won't inherit. So that's why we have to not be the doers of those. Because if we die in our sins like that, as the doers of those, if that's how God looks at us in his judgment, we will not inherit. And don't deceive yourself. If you continue in doing those things, and you're not seeking deliverance, if you think you're okay the way you are, you're a hypocrite, you're like the Pharisees, you are whole, you don't even need Christ. Oh no, I accepted Christ. No, you didn't. You didn't. If you accepted Christ, you would accept his teachings, as you would accept the things I'm teaching you now. But you've accepted some other word from some other smooth forked tongue, snake oil man, who has whispered in your ear something you'd like to hear, which is a much easier way. The idea of going through all this asking to receive, going through all this suffering that you may find, is too much for you, isn't it? God is willing to give us good things. But like verse 11 and 12, don't mistake it though. In giving you a good thing, you may have to go through things. You want an egg, son? Well, go out to the chicken house and get it. But he's not going to offer him a scorpion. He's not going to say, here, have something that hurts you. Now, there may be pain. Like when I consider the anguish I've gone through at times to get over particular sins and so on and so forth, I don't see that as a bad thing that God is giving me. I see it as a good thing. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. You know, that's good. Sorrow can be good. It can be good for you. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It is good to grieve. It is good to feel that way. It works something better in the end. Because being positive all the time just is madness. Madness. It is good to grieve. Because the world is evil. And in the face of such an evil world, to go through with a smile plastered on your face is madness. God is ready to give good things. He's not going to give you worthless things like stones. He's not going to give you a serpent instead of a fish. But he is going to give you the fish in his way. And he's going to bring you a good thing that maybe doesn't just deliver you from sin, but also gives you fruit of the Spirit. And that's why he refers to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the mechanism by which we're going to overcome all the evil in the world. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who comes to us and dwells with us. And when we say Jesus inside of me, we don't have Jesus inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit who comes in his name. The Holy Spirit has come in the name of Jesus, so we can say Jesus is in us. But it's his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that's come into us. That's why we seek the Holy Ghost. It's not a light thing. It's the most important thing about our walk. As far as it is really the highway between us and God's blessing. As far as God connects with us through the Spirit of God. Not that he needs other, not that it can't be done in other ways, but just that is how he has ordained. He will give us his Spirit, and his Spirit will write in us new laws. Like if my old law was, every time I see a liquor store, I gotta run in and buy some booze. My new law is, I don't find that attractive at all. And so he writes the laws and commandments in our hearts, not as thou shalt not, but as this is the way you are now. This is the change that's come over you. He writes it in us as a positive yay. As a